I'm hit, but not bad. R2, see what you can do with it. Yahoo! You're all clear, man!
Better than your microphone that would be 2 feet away. Yeah.
Mark.
What?
That's not nice.
Yeah.
So how's your hot fudge sundae with caramel?
This is not a sundae. This is a Saturday.
You got a Saturday?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
That the Saturday has hot fudge only. No whipped cream, nuts, or cherry.
But I see caramel. I don't see hot fudge.
No, it's hot fudge.
No. Why? What? Well, I got a thin mint sundae with no hot fudge and no topping whatsoever, but little sprinkles of mints, like Andy's mints.
But that's not built into the ice cream. They sprinkle that on top.
Yeah.
Do they charge you for that?
No, in fact, because I chose no topping.
Right.
She decided that it made more sense to give me a discount.
Oh yeah, but because I didn't understand why she was telling you hot fudge is the only topping. When the sign says your choice of topping, right?
Well, yeah.
It didn't really make sense.
Well, it turns out they didn't know that what I was asking for was a sundae. They thought I was just simply asking for ice cream with a topping.
With a free topping.
With a free topping.
Excellent. Anyway, so we already ate dinner at the expensive Japanese place in Orinda, California.
Right.
But there was a band playing outside that was too loud. We decided not to record.
Really bad impressions of, like, Bing Crosby and...
They weren't really that old. They weren't that old.
No, when we first went in there, they were singing...
Were they doing Bing Crosby things? No.
No, not that old.
Anyway, I didn't really mind them, but they were too loud. So, we're at Lord's, L-O-A-R-D, apostrophe S, ice cream and candles.
What? You're kidding me.
Maybe this isn't the right place. You sure this is 230 Brookwood Road? Because maybe they have another Lord. Anyway, because I checked in with Bright Kite asking for Lord's ice cream, and it came up with Lord's ice cream and candles.
And
anyway,
candles.
In Orinda, California. So we're just getting some ice cream for dessert here. Normally we would have just gotten green tea ice cream.
Are you sure it's not candies?
No, I'm not sure, actually. It is candies. Never mind. Doesn't it look like candles? Doesn't it look like candles?
Yes, it does, because you can't see the eye.
I know. Anyway.
Steve, get on that.
Never
mind. Get on that.
Never
mind. Fix that problem.
Never mind. Never mind. But do they have candies? Did you know there's an iPhone app that, amongst other things it'll do, it'll tell you the names of the mountains in different directions?
The date from the what?
The names of the mountains near you.
Oh.
So
why?
You'll look up where you are from the GPS.
Okay.
And then you tell it which direction you're looking at, and it'll tell you the names of the hills or the mountains that you're looking at if they're big enough to have a name.
Oh.
Isn't that weird?
That's very odd.
But anyway.
Could you use the camera to tell what constellation you're standing underneath?
It's not that good. I doubt the camera is capable of that. But do you need to have someone write a program that would do that?
Mm-hmm.
The camera's probably not good enough.
Did we record my idea of what application I want to write for the iPhone? Or is that our last podcast?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
But anyway, I forget.
the ex-wife, the angry ex-wife app?
Oh.
Did I tell you that?
Yeah, we were talking about it in the car. I don't know that we put it on the podcast. I don't think so.
So here's a freebie.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that you have a program which will ring your phone when you run it, as if you're receiving a phone call.
Right.
And the person who owns the iPhone, basically, they've executed the application, so the phone rings. Okay. They pretend to pick it up, and the application waits to hear some sound in the microphone. They say, hello?
Right.
And then through the speaker, very loudly, a random WAV file or random PCM audio file will play back of a woman who's very angry. And it maybe could be very explicit. You could have different modes. You could have swear mode, nice mode, or something.
Okay.
And then all it does is plays back that sound file, and then waits to hear something in the microphone. The person who's playing the game then says something like, yes, honey, I'll be home in a minute.
Right.
And then if it's on swear mode, bullshit, you're not going to be home in time. You've said this before. You've said this all the time.
You know.
But it doesn't have to be specific to the words. It could be something that's just generic enough to sound like the person's carrying on a real conversation.
Sure.
And it could be so loud, and she could be so nasty, and say so so many vulgar things that that everybody around you would probably feel sorry for you. And that'll be the whole thing of this.
But what can you do with the accelerometer, though? Like, if you start shaking the phone, but she'll yell at you, what are you doing to me? Why are you doing that?
And then, are you quivering again?
Yeah.
You know. Damn it, we've talked about this over and over again.
No, the other thing is, do you know whether the API that an application can use gives it access to the face detector? Because one of the things about the iPhone that's kind of unique is that the other phones with touch screens, when you hold them against your face to make a phone call,
that's right.
Your cheek will press against random parts of the screen, and that will cause buttons to be pressed, that will cause touch tones, or cause different things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the iPhone has a special sensor in the screen that senses a large object, like your face or your hand, covering it, so that when you're holding it against your ear, it'll shut off the screen and shut off all the sensitivity on the screen.
Right.
To avoid that happening. But can a game get at that? Like, could this application know that you're holding the phone up to your ear and do a little bit different than if you hold it away from your ear?
I know that via the API, things like the accelerometer are only accessible in the actual phone itself or iTouch.
Right.
So when you're developing a game for the iTouch or iPhone that you want to use the accelerometer with, you're actually forced to download. You're actually forced to buy the Pro SDK and download your program every time you want to test it into the phone and then use it. Because the emulator does not support that. And so it wouldn't surprise me if something like the face detector was not supported by the emulator. You had to actually download it and use that.
But you think it might be supported, period?
Yeah, I don't know. I would hope so. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
I got no clue.
Anyway, that would be a good application. You can
I actually forgot about that feature.
Yeah.
For face protection.
Right. You can kind of see it for yourself if you... It's really about the top third of the screen. Like, no, that's not in the right mode right now, but if you cover up your hand, like the top third of the screen, you'll see that happen. Or if you cover your hand somewhere else, it won't. So you can kind of
The ambient light detector is built in. It's right there.
Yeah, but it's not really... But covering your hand, it's not a light... It's not because it blocks the light.
Right.
It's a separate sensor, but it's also near the top.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Maybe on the other side or something.
Yeah. No, I played it. You kind of see where it is.
I want to know the difference between the cost for Apple. I want to know the cost to build an iPhone versus the cost Apple pays to build an iTouch.
Right.
What's the price difference between those two? Which would then, in turn, let us know how much profit they're making off the sale of the iTouch.
Right.
Because the iTouch has a lot less features than the iPhone, and that's what I'd like to know the difference.
Yeah, but it may not be that much cheaper. Yeah, it's hard.
I think it's probably a lot less cheaper on the Touch than it is on the phone.
Right.
Because it doesn't have Bluetooth, doesn't have a microphone, doesn't have a speaker.
Doesn't have the modem. The whole cellular
doesn't
stuff.
Doesn't have the face detector.
Okay.
There's probably other things we don't know about.
Yeah.
It would just be interesting to see what's the profit margin that they're making off of the sale of the Touch, the iPods.
Okay. Well, the phone, they make extra profit from the carrier.
Oh, yeah.
They make a lot of extra money, too.
But I suspect it's more profitable for them to sell Touches than it is for them to sell phones.
Right. How much is the Touch for the same amount of memory? How much is the Touch?
What, $300?
Yeah.
For 16 gig?
Yeah, okay. And the phone is that same amount, plus they get maybe a lot of money from the carrier. I don't know how much.
Yeah.
So.
Maybe I'm wrong. But. Well, we could figure that out. It would be kind of fun to do some research.
Probably known. There's been people who studied all that stuff.
Yeah.
I've seen websites about that before.
Okay.
Anyway, by the way, who are we? Usually we introduce ourselves far earlier.
Oops.
Your phone's making noises.
So, good evening, everyone. Yeah. My name is Wes.
And my name is the world-famous Mark Bernay.
Who is world-famous.
He's as a phone freak.
And you're listening to the WNO show, What's New Is Old, a part of the Slurpcast Network.
Slurpcast?
Slurpcast, yes, yeah. Mark. Slurpcast. That's www.slurpcast.com.
And what will people find if they go there?
Entertainment. Ingenuity, intelligence, smart and witty comments.
Will it be any different than listening to this?
No, in fact, it'll be exactly the same.
I see. No,
because
but
they are listening to this from the Slurpcast Network.
But if you're listening to this in some way other than the Slurpcast website, please go to that website and find this episode in the blog on the website, because all the URLs and conceptual things that we mentioned in the audio, but we don't remember an exact URL, or it's too complicated to speak the whole thing out.
Right.
We will have an entry, a blog entry behind each recording that explains all that stuff.
Yeah, most people who do radio shows or podcasts, they do their research first,
right,
and then they do their show with the correct resource.
First?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark and I, we kind of sort of know what we want to talk. We do a little bit of research,
right,
but then we forget all the URLs right when it's time to record.
Right.
And then later
some of them
on,
are too long anyway. And then, but some of them are too long anyway to really be reading.
Yeah, that's true.
Stuff, so.
Yeah. But,
and we often think of better ones anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever URL we had in mind, we may come up with a better one.
Yeah. Or you'll overwrite mine with a better one.
Yeah.
But the point is that Mark and I spend a night, almost a night, combined with our both of our efforts, we'll spend about a night researching the links.
Whatever we end up talking about, we'll try to justify it.
We both go through the audio file with a fine tooth comb.
Right.
I do it during editing. He does it afterwards.
Right. Actually, you know what? I saw this before, right? That my hearing used to be damaged at 2600. That would be interesting if you could take apart my ear and look at all the cilia and find the 2600 one. Would it actually have been bent over or damaged in any way physically?
Wait.
Maybe I never talked
so
about
that. So you got this idea that there's a 2600 cilia?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the way they work, yeah. That there's ones for different frequencies.
No, I thought it was a drum vibrating at different rates.
No, but it's detected by a whole series of cilia that are different lengths and that are tuned to different frequencies.
So maybe there's more than one cilia at 2600.
Maybe. As a backup, in case the first one gets
broken. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a RAID hard drive.
Yeah.
So, network.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Or maybe maybe the cilia next door can grow longer or shorter to fit in for the damage one or something.
Huh.
But hey, anyway, but I used to have, when I was younger and much more of a phone freak.
What?
When I was much more of a phone freak.
Oh.
What'd you think I said? Then I would play with 2600 a lot.
2600?
The 2600 hertz. Yeah, so cycles per second.
It does hurt.
Yeah, it hurts for a while. Anyway, I played with that frequency so much and for so loud that for years afterwards, my ears had a defect that when I heard that frequency, they would kind of tingle in a weird kind of a way. And I could definitely tell for sure when I was listening to that frequency by that damage, you know. It's kind of gone away now. But I say it'd be interesting to see if that was actually a physical change or how that worked.
I know in SoundForge, a sound editing tool for the PC, you could actually specify a hertz, in hertz, what you wanted to hear, and it would do a sine wave sound at that rate.
And SoundForge could also, does the latest version still do this? Does it still do touch tone?
Yeah.
Does it still do multi-frequency, the blue box tone?
Well,
The SoundForge that I have,
it
would.
DTMF. Yeah, you could do dual touch.
Right.
Yeah.
But it had two different standards. Right?
Yeah.
And one of them was multi-frequency, the blue box tone, which I never understood really why they would include that in that product, unless the phone freaks had worked on that product.
Well, originally it was developed by a guy who was really good at coding.
Right.
This is way before Sony bought it.
Right.
And it was just like, just like Paint Shop Pro has its originates from a mom and pop or just one developer out of his house or bedroom writing this program because he thinks it's really cool.
Right.
And then it becomes something really fantastic.
Right.
SoundForge is the same way. So it wouldn't surprise me if SoundForge's roots are based in, doing things like, like
Like maybe you did play with phones at one point, whoever he was. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they were the first one to support things like, what is it called? The Dialogic card.
Right.
Dialogic audio file format. So so this coder, whoever wrote it, was very much into other things and supporting formats that were odd and weird.
Yeah. Okay.
So it doesn't surprise me, like a phone freak.
But what's the other one? Remember the one that was kind of like SoundForge, but was totally free shareware for a while, then later on they started charging if you wanted more features. Nowadays it's really expensive.
Not Audacity.
I forget what it was called.
Cool Edit?
Cool Edit, yeah.
Okay.
But I think Cool Edit does MF2, I think. I forget.
I bet.
I think I saw that in MF2.
So the one thing my friend who's a developer said about Cool Edit is that Cool Edit would cache the most used functions.
Okay.
So if you were doing certain types of edits or running certain types of processes against audio files, it would remember what those were for that particular session.
Right.
Like if you're doing a lot of them, instead of starting from scratch and running through the same process again, whatever formula that would be, it would store that so that all of a sudden, just by you using Cool Edit, processes, cuts, edits, things like that would just become really, really fast.
Okay.
And that was one of the unique aspects of Cool Edit.
Yeah, I would have used it more because it was free, except I already paid for SoundForge at that point or something. SoundForge is now run by Sony. The price has gone down tremendously. They have a smarter version that's really cheap. It seems to do everything I remember it doing in the past.
Yeah, except it does not handle 24-bit audio.
Who cares? Can anyone tell the difference?
I do.
I can't tell the difference.
I care.
Can you tell the difference?
Well, yeah, I can. I can actually tell. When I'm wearing headphones, I can tell.
Yeah.
But What bothers me about Sony with Acid and Vegas is that Sony, these programs, when they were on their own, were being edited and being upgraded and having code changed to them that were like significant. The developers who originally had these things. Like with SoundForge, we're making like leaps and bounds. They were doing all these really great things. As soon as Sony bought them, features were added, but they were small, minuscule. It wasn't like huge updates.
Did the original staff quit? Maybe
I don't know. Well, I know like how Macromedia used to work.
Yeah,
they would bring the actual core developers in to the same building where all the other developers were.
Okay,
and then just sort of like that, bringing everybody under the same roof did not work all that well.
Okay.
So if that was the case, would explain why SoundForge has not been updated that much.
Did you ever go with me to one of the meetings? I think you did. I remember in the Macromedia building, they used to have some computer club that would meet in the first floors.
Right, and they gave away free software.
Yeah, I forgot the name of that
club. That was after I left the company.
What was the name of that club? I forgot what it was about.
That was the Dreamweaver. Was it Dreamweaver?
For some reason, I liked going to it.
No, it was not. It was like the director or...
Yeah, I liked going to it. So even though I wasn't using those products exactly, they still had presentations that were interesting sometimes about new products. And so I would sometimes go to that.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So speaking of Adobe, what were you talking to me about earlier?
Well, I've been reading a little bit about why there's no Flash for the iPhone yet.
Right.
And I'll post some articles that will have those accurately, because I may not remember really exactly right. But there's some fight going on between Adobe and Apple about Flash, because Steve Jobs was complaining like publicly that the Mac version or the PC version of Flash is too overkill, takes up too much memory, too much resources, really too overkill to try to fit in an iPhone. But the mobile version of Flash that Adobe had built for other manufacturers, he thought was just way too limited, just couldn't run most Flashes you need on websites. And then Adobe at one point said that they would write their own, that they would just use the Apple's API and put an app in the App Store that would let you add Flash. And they didn't really need, they didn't really care about Apple's opinion. They didn't need Apple's opinion. But then they backed down from that quickly because the way apps run from the App Store, Safari, it's impossible for Safari to call them as an exit point and to do anything with them.
Okay.
So Flash just can't exist in that environment.
So there's no such thing as like a plug-in for Safari.
Right. And also, Apple has to approve everything that goes in the App Store, so if Steve is mad at Adobe, and he's not going to let them sneak around that way, even if physically it would work, he wouldn't allow it anyway. So apparently that's not going to happen.
Okay.
And half the people think that somehow they will work out a deal and they will eventually do it. And half the people think that Apple is just going to go off their own direction and write something like Microsoft has this flash-like thing called Silverlight that they're trying to sell. And so the people, there's a rumor that Apple will develop their own thing that does what Flash does and force developers to write for that if they want to work on the iPhone.
Okay. So the rumor is that Steve approves every single app that goes into the App Store.
I doubt that, right? Because how would that NetShare have ever happened? So someone carelessly approved.
Well, you know his history, his phone freak history, of course, Mark.
So he might have stuck it in purposely.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's possible. Oh, speaking of Steve's and phone freaks, the other Steve Wozniak.
Oh yeah,
I saw him yesterday.
Okay,
I was in San Francisco, across the street from the Metreon, at Fourth and Mission.
Okay.
And I see these two people riding on the sidewalk on Segways.
Uh-huh.
I think, that's illegal in San Francisco, I think, to ride on the sidewalk with Segways. Then I look closer, and it was Steve Wozniak with some woman who I don't think was... What's his girlfriend? Kathy Lee something?
Kathy Lee? What?
Yeah, what's his girlfriend's name?
The newscaster, Kathy...
No, the famous comedian, Kathy something. I forget her name.
Oh, right.
Anyway, I didn't pay attention enough to see... was her. I was just so amazed to see him.
Okay.
And I was trying to decide, because I say at those old Home Computer Club meetings, he knew who I was. He knew me as Mark Bernay, the phone freak.
Okay.
So I was tempted to go up to him, because I was like 5 feet away from him, right?
Okay.
So I was tempted to go ask him about that, if he remembered me at all. But then the light changed, and the two of them segued away across the street.
Okay.
And then down the block. Way too fast to catch
they
up with.
They segued away.
Yeah.
Is that a new verb we got to use now?
Yes, they segued.
When segways become totally prevalent and nobody has cars?
That's never going to happen, by the way. It hasn't happened yet. I don't think it ever will.
Well, you were saying in 2000, you were telling me something like how when they were first introduced.
I was negative, right?
Yes. $3,000, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
And I had a lot of other reasons besides that.
Okay.
But anyway,
it took time to learn how to use and stuff like that.
No, that's actually fast. You can learn it really quick.
Really?
I played with one just in a county fair once, and you learn pretty quickly.
Okay.
But anyway, let me just finish one story.
Okay.
So as they segued away, it suddenly dawned on me, instead of wasting time thinking about whether I should approach him, why didn't I pull out my camera and take it? Because I had my real camera with me, as well as the iPhone camera. Why didn't I think to pull one of those cameras out and take a picture of this?
Huh.
And then they were already way too far gone by the time I thought of that.
Huh.
So anyway.
Okay.
But my objections to the Segway was the price, the battery life. I was predicting. I didn't know anything about the battery life whatsoever.
Okay.
Of the Segway specifically, but I'm just pretty much familiar with batteries in handheld devices.
Okay.
And I saw pictures of the Segway batteries. They look kind of like notebook, like a couple of notebook batteries.
Yeah.
And I was thinking a couple of notebook batteries will run the electronics in a notebook for several hours. But the big motors of a Segway, not only for all the balancing,
but
going up hills and all that kind of stuff, these little things the size of notebook batteries, how long could that possibly last?
Yeah.
So I was predicting the battery life would be horrible.
Okay.
And then my other point was, where do you put it? Like, let's say you have to go into a building, you're going to an appointment, you're going somewhere where you can't just run the whole time. Do you carry it up into a building with you? What if there's some steps?
Yeah.
What if there's some steps where you can't go? Yeah, no.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like 100 pounds.
You're not going to...
So they're too heavy to carry into buildings with you and all that. So anyway, I was just predicting that there was going to be a lot of problems with them.
Okay.
And it really never has caught on, except Steve Wozniak. If you look up websites about him and Segways, he's very rich and he likes them, so he buys a bunch of them.
Okay.
And he plays Segway polo with his friends and things like that.
Okay.
But the average person just wouldn't buy it. But speaking of that though, I saw recently, I was looking around on some stuff about BART, the Bay Area Rapid Transit system, and I ran into a big study they had just done on should they allow Segways on BART or not. Because so far they said but BART's personnel had the feeling that no more than 20 people total had ever tried to use a Segway in BART.
Okay.
And I just didn't think it was really all that important to worry about policies or anything.
Okay.
But then what forced it is that a guy was riding his Segway on the platform. He lost control of it.
Mm.
The Segway was moving towards the trackway.
Okay.
And he lost control of it and jumped off. And the Segway kept going and landed on the trackway just when a train was arriving. And the train ran over the Segway and nothing really that badly happened, but it was just a very scary thing.
Okay.
So Bart decided, you know what, we really better make a formal policy about that.
Okay.
And what they've decided to do is that if someone's using a Segway as a disability accommodation, then they will allow them in at any time, but they really don't want them using it in the subway and riding it in the station. So they want you to just, you know, put the wheels in a loose motor and just drag it along.
Okay.
And just drag it along on the in the station or on the platform.
Okay.
But you can use it, people who have disability reasons to use it can take it on BART at any time. Whereas people without disabilities but just use a Segway just a way of getting around, again, they must not ride it in the system, and they're restricting it to the same hours the bicycles are allowed.
Okay.
BART does not allow bicycles.
Just yeah.
Yeah. So whatever the bicycle regulations are, they're kind of doing the same thing for Segways.
Okay.
But all because of this one bizarre accident.
Well, it could be something like if they become more prominent. I mean, it's possible that the cost of these things are going to come down, and more people will be able to afford these things. And they are kind of convenient,
right?
Like a bicycle might be convenient, but the problem is the battery life is so bad.
Yeah,
I'm getting bothered.
No. Yeah. Okay. Do you pause? Yeah,
okay. No. Go ahead.
Okay. No, but I'm saying that they're a lot heavier than a bicycle, and therefore much harder to carry in somewhere. I say, especially if you have some old building that doesn't have wheelchair ramps, it doesn't have totally flat access to the building, then how do you get your Segway in there? Because it's really very heavy to carry up steps and try to take with you. And it's too valuable to just try to lock and leave it outside.
Yeah.
Because then anyone can just kind of pick it up and walk off. It's heavy, but someone can still pick it up and walk off with it.
Now, if some big company were to pick up the Segway and figure out how to manufacture those parts, much like Ford did with Jaguar, or Sony with all these software companies that I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, the reason the price isn't going down, the Segway has a lot of patents that control it.
Huh.
So they're keeping it a monopoly by patents, and people can't legally copy it.
Well,
but you can make your own. I'll dig this up. I've seen the websites before about how using just common household parts and when writing your own software and stuff to handle you can build your own equivalent of it.
Well, what I was trying to do was segue into a segue about Sony PSP3 and the new PlayStation.
What does that possibly have to do with a segue? What are you talking? Oh, because while you're writing your segue, you might be playing with a PSP.
No, it's a story about how if a company like Sony were to pick up Segway, they could manufacture the parts and things
cheaper,
much cheaper, making this product, the Segway, more
Segway
popular.
Could do that too. I think they keep
probably could.
They just keep the monopoly to keep the price high. I think.
Well, with that failed attempt to do a Segway, I'll just go right to the story. BBC News put out an article about a brand new version of the PlayStation 3 as well as the PlayStation Portable.
Right.
Both of these are to be due out in worldwide around October 15th. The idea is that the new PlayStation Portable is going to have a better screen that's anti-glare.
Right.
It's going to have the same dimensions as the PSP Slim and PSP Lite, which are versions of the PlayStation Portable that have been recently released. So it's
how long ago?
Like months. Maybe a year. Probably a year, because what I think of in terms of months turns out to be a year.
Okay.
And it's supposed to have a wider palette of colors and a higher contrast ratio.
Right.
And also, the biggest feature is that it's going to have a built-in microphone. I guess the thing is the PSP Slim and Lite, I thought, did have a built-in microphone anyway.
They might have, and it's just a marketing gimmick that they're repeating it again just to make the new one sound better.
So the only difference, major difference in the PlayStation 3 is they're going to have different colors.
Different colors.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it's going to be 80 gigabyte. So I have like an 8 gig.
What's the old one?
What's that?
Do they have a hard drive or what?
Yeah.
It's kind of big for electronic, but not
even. I'm sorry. You know what?
Yeah.
That's okay. So the new one's going to have 160 gigabytes. My bad.
Oh, well. Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So
that's
it's
pretty
good
for a portable. Yeah.
As a, no. That
that's
is,
for the build.
That's for the main PlayStation 3. It's going to be bundled with Drake's Fortune.
Okay.
And that's going to go on sale, yeah. Both these guys
Drake.
Are going, what?
Why would I care about Drake and his function?
You don't care about PlayStation Portable or PlayStation 3.
Either, in any event, I know.
Well, so I do appreciate video games, and I like some of the stuff that's... I remember as a little kid in high school sneaking out at lunchtime. Well, not sneaking out, but running across the street to 7-Eleven to play Spy Hunter.
Okay.
And a lot of people will remember the old attraction to arcade games. I don't know of any arcades that exist nowadays. Like, San Francisco used to have a ton of them.
Really?
Yeah, nowadays, I'm not sure. Because I think that the multi-user, like the things that they call an internet cafe, but it's really a bunch of computers on a network that they play.
That's
kids
close.
Play games. And those, there may still be some of those around. I'm not sure.
That one is still around in the Pacific East Mall.
Yeah,
99 Ranch.
There are video games and movie theaters. Movie complexes have.
Yeah, that's
theaters.
True. But not a dedicated arcade where there's nothing but video games.
That's true. Where have I seen
some of the some of the parks, theme parks have them.
Yeah.
Dad, do you want anything?
But for people for older folks like myself, who remember the fantastic attraction to arcade games, there are emulators that exist for the PC and the Mac and pretty much almost all the modern operating systems that will play back the exact firmware that existed in those machines.
Okay.
One of the most famous, and I'll put a link in the show notes, is an application that I've also spoken highly of, which is MAME32.
Oh, right.
And MAME32 for Windows is now, it's named something different now. I forget the name of it. It did like a code branch or something and went off on a different tangent. Like I forget, it's called High Mem or High Emulate or Emulate High. It's basically MAME 32 for Windows XP or Vista.
Well, what is like the iPhone has some old games that no one would ever buy because it costs $9.95.
Oh my god,
no one would ever pay that much for a game. But some of them
that's too much.
Have games by the original manufacturers.
Okay, Namco's Pac-Man.
That sort of thing. I think the Pac-Man might be Namco. Yeah.
Okay.
So are those the same code base or are they just reformatted for the iPhone?
I don't know. It depends on a lot of manufacturers that originally, like Williams, that originally made these arcade games. In order to satisfy the younger populace who is totally brain dead on the fancy graphics and sound effects that come out of the new game consoles, those companies will make modern versions of their older games.
Okay.
So I imagine something like Pac-Man.
But they're supposed to be pretty similar. They're not supposed to be all fancy or anything.
It depends on what the goal of the application is. If it's for the iPhone and it's like Pac-Man, and it's by Namco, it might be that they're just trying to make it exactly the same as what existed.
Well, didn't I see something about Pac-Man as a first-person shooter or something?
Really?
I don't think this one really did it, but I think someone was mentioning it in the comments of this one about why don't they do that or something.
Okay.
You know, so you're seeing it from the Pac-Man's point of view and turning around and seeing the ghost chasing you and running away from him and stuff.
Hmm.
I don't know where I saw that. I don't think I saw it as an actual game. But that's what you're talking about, modernizing.
Exactly. And usually it just means skins, like different types of like three-dimensional graphics, but the gameplay is supposed to be the same.
Right.
A lot of games like Galaga, Missile Command.
Okay.
Atari's released updated versions of like Asteroids and all their old arcade games. This is for the PC and even the consoles. Atari released a 2600 emulator for the PlayStation 2.
It can make 2600 hertz? That would hurt my ears. Are you sure you want to do
Yes.
That? Okay. Anyway. You mean a different machine, don't you?
Yes,
the Atari 2600.
The Atari 2600.
Old personal computer.
And everybody knows the founder.
Nolan Bushnell.
Snake Plissken?
Who?
No.
Who was Nolan Bushnell? What was he?
Yes, you're absolutely right. He was the founder of Atari.
Okay.
Why an American uses an Asian name for the founding of a company?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know?
I forget. I've probably seen
it. It's what it means in Japanese or something. Happiness or happy-go-luckiness.
Okay.
Anyway, Nolan might be listening to the show, and if you are listening to the show...
You're the only one. You don't have much of an audience right now. Would you like to sponsor us, Nolan?
He might, though. See, the thing is these things never go away, right? So, maybe someday in the future we'll become popular. Like when aliens discover that the Earth is gone or that the... somewhere on this hard drive they dig up in the dirt after the populace has died out.
They'll find our podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I should have yelled at Steve Wozniak. I should have yelled at the Slurpcast after it.
He'd go, huh? What? And then forget about it.
I know. That's true. That's true.
So,
yeah. Okay. I saw something. No, Nolan Bushnell. Didn't he also... No, he was the one behind the pizza thing. What was the name?
Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese,
absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Al Bernay was boycotting Chuck E. Cheese. He was for about 10 years, he was boycotting them and would not allow his map workers to go to Chuck E. Cheese.
Can I ask why?
Sure. Because...
Why?
He was driving map workers home one day or something, and these two map workers wanted to go to a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. Oh, it's cheese. That's why.
Chuck E. Cheese.
It's cheese.
No, that's not really why. That's not why. That's why he would never personally step foot in
it. Shove it way up.
What?
Shove it way up your ass.
What are you talking about? Who would say anything like that?
I don't know.
So, anyway, he would never go into a Chuck E. Cheese anyway because he didn't like that kind of food.
I got a segue.
But, yeah.
Mark, you've just had a hot fudge sundae.
Right. I wonder what I should do with the cup. What are you going to do with your cup? Maybe I'll throw a muck. So I would never go into a Chuck E. Cheese anyway. So I forget the circumstances, but he dropped these two kids off in front of a Chuck E. Cheese and then went off somewhere else with some other friends to do something else.
Okay.
And a couple hours later, he goes back to pick up the kids, and they're sitting in the parking lot all alone outside in the cold.
Okay.
And what happened is that...
They got kicked out.
No, they didn't. Oh. They, by their story, they didn't. I don't know. Of course, maybe you're right. Maybe that's what really happened.
I don't know. Yeah.
But their story was he drove off before they actually walked in the door. So their story was they walk in the door. The management asks them where their parents are. They say they're there alone. They say, sorry, we can't let you in alone.
Oh.
And kicks them out. And the kids explain to the management, we have nowhere else to go. Our parents aren't here, period. We don't live around here. We have nowhere else to go. They said, that's too bad. You can't come in without your parents. And just shove them out the door and just have them sit around in the parking lot for hours.
I doubt it.
But Al claims he went in and yelled at them. Al claims he went in and yelled at them.
The kids probably got in just fine. Nobody cared. They got in. Yeah. They got their hands stamped. And then they probably did something to get themselves kicked out.
No, but Al claims he walked in and yelled at the manager and stuff.
Well, he probably did.
But the manager would have told them that the kids are lying to you. Maybe Al believed the kids and they were lying. But the Al's story was that the management told them the same thing. Al's story was that the management confirmed the story but tried to justify why they can't let anyone in without
that. See, as far as I know, Chuck E. Cheese would never care. Nobody in management would ever care at all whether or not kid comes in with their parents.
You never saw that.
What's that?
You know, you saw kids just walking in.
Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to take that back because what they used to do is you had a line. You had like a little narrow walkway that you had to go in. And at one end, there was a guard, or not a guard, but somebody who worked there with a stamp.
Okay.
And they would stamp your hand. But they would also ask who you were with.
Right.
So it is possible that Chuck E. Cheese would probably be the only place that would do this where they actually do care about whether you're coming in with a parent. If you're young, but I don't think that his map workers were that young, right?
No.
So then they wouldn't really care.
Anyway,
you have to be like a baby, though, for this to happen.
Al claimed that he talked to the management and they admitted that this is what happened.
No, I think it's
but he was boycotting them for years because of that.
Okay.
Anyway, but Nolan Bushnell, more recently, was running something in the LA area that I never got around to going to, and if it's still there, I really should.
Okay.
That I had this idea a long, 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 long time ago. That you should have a restaurant that has a telephone at every table.
Okay.
But just an intercom amongst the tables.
Okay.
And every table has on the ceiling above it a sign hanging down with a table number.
Okay.
So you look around the restaurant, and if you see someone you want to meet, you would pick up your phone and dial their table number and talk to them.
Okay.
And maybe, you know, they can look around, see who you are and stuff, and then maybe it's just a way of getting people together and stuff.
Okay.
Well, Nolan Bushnell has started something in the Valley that was not exactly that, but somehow was like that.
I can speak a little bit about
this. Yeah, because I forget the story.
Okay, so before that even started, you, myself, and Sam went to the video...
The good
video
Sam or the bad Sam?
No, the good Sam.
Yeah, but it was now bad.
Okay. Now bad.
Okay, now
went
bad
to the,
went
What's to
with
the,
you and Sam? Both of your Sams
I don't know.
Are gone bad.
I don't know. They ended up... Maybe it's just me. It's just me.
But it's only Sam's.
I don't
seem to have a problem with other people.
I don't like Sam's. So you, myself, and Sam, and I think my dad went to the... video game history, video game computing history. and at the Computer History Museum when it was at the NASA Ames facility.
Right.
And Nolan Bushnell was there and gave a speech. And one of the things that he was talking to Sam about was the fact that he had this theory that although video games are really intense now and they're very, very graphically intense and they draw you into this virtual reality, he said he felt that there was a need to actually like have a casual gaming set of like arcade systems that you could, you know, like a bar. You go into a bar and you hang out and usually there's like a blackjack machine there. He wanted to expand on that idea and come up with video games that could be placed in restaurants that were casual. In other words, they didn't force you to focus 100% of your energy on them.
Right.
They were just sort of short but fun games that people could play.
I saw a New York one in a restaurant that had a trivia game going on where people at each table could try to be the first to answer a trivia game that was on a central screen.
Okay.
And get points for that.
There are certain things where there are certain TGI Fridays that had video game systems where they hand out remotes to various people, and then something will come on the screen and they can like play Family Feud or something.
Right. But Nolan Bushnell's new thing though had something to do with telephones at every table where you call each other.
Telephones?
It wasn't exactly like that. It wasn't exactly my idea.
Okay.
But it was something like that where the different tables could communicate with each other.
Okay.
And it just reminded me, here's another one of my ideas that's just been stolen that I didn't develop. You know?
Yeah.
But I forget what it is now, and I'm not sure if it's still running, but it was something in the San Fernando Valley.
You should just be like be like Microsoft and simply copyright or get trademarks for everything. Patents for everything you think of. It's expensive.
Patents take work, you know. Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, so I should really, I'll try to research that for Slurpcast entry to have a pointer if that restaurant still exists. And I should move it already.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I'll use my my next 2 weeks. By the way, I'm taking vacation.
Okay.
I have to tell everybody.
Right.
I'm taking this coming week off, and then I'm going back to work next week. So the beginning of the 25th, I'm taking that week off.
Right.
I'm going back to work the next week, and then I'm taking that third week off.
Are you going to be in town to do this podcast?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll just be a lot more spunky and lively and refreshed and not stressed out.
Do you have articles? We'll have
I will. I will have
You'll
time
have
to research articles.
Good.
Wow.
Good.
I will remember
and
then actually have time to spend.
Yeah.
So how can we make this a full-time job?
Marketing.
Oh.
Learn how to market podcasts and do some work marketing.
Okay. Because I would love to be able to have the time to do that.
Yeah.
It would make the show much more interesting.
Some of the people I follow on Twitter seem to make their living at blogging and podcasting and stuff.
Okay.
You know,
That'd be cool. It'd be fun.
Yeah.
I have no idea how to do it, but...
Okay. Yeah, there's all kinds of hopefully stuff about how to market blogs and stuff. But that's cool.
Yeah.
I never looked at that.
Okay.
So
we're done.
Do we have time? I don't have anything that important. I can just I have hundreds of items in my Evernote notebook that I could go through, but they don't really have anything especially important. But,
all right.
Yeah.
So that's it for me.
Yeah, I don't have anything important enough to worry about.
So thanks everybody for listening to the show. Again, it's www.slurpcast.com.
Right.
Where you can come to listen, to take a look at all the links that we have up there. And,
right. And it's good to subscribe.
And watch videos.
Yeah. Occasionally. We don't have videos on that many times, but every once in a while one of the Slurpcast items will have a little video.
That's right.
That has little to do with the podcast entry for that day, but maybe it was recorded in the same place.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.